At 7 minutes after the hour, this is Monitor. How many times has your wife complained about the rising cost of groceries? And how many times have you said, "What can I do about it?" Well, somebody is doing something about it. Sharon Donaldson, a housewife in Phoenix, Arizona, has organized a food boycott with other housewives. We'll put in a call to her and find out how it's working after Hugo Montenegro's version of I Spy. Donaldson, a 25-year-old Phoenix housewife and the mother of four children, believes in direct action. When food prices shot up, she decided to just stop buying bread and bake her own. And then she put an ad in the paper to get other Phoenix housewives to do the same. We've got Mrs. Donaldson on our open line right now. Mrs. Donaldson.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What happened after you put in that newspaper ad to get people to join you in your fight?
Well, when Mrs. Friedman and myself put that ad in, we expected to hear from a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we received thousands of telephone calls and hundreds of letters locally.
Uh-huh.
We then had to change our names to the Housewife Voice for Lower Prices. And we now have a chairman, Mrs. Friedman,
uh-huh.
chairman, myself, the publicity chairman, Mrs. Wellaba, and a secretary, Mrs. Lynch. We have 20 area representatives and at least 6,000 women in the valley that are standing behind us.
And this is all just in your own area?
Oh, yes.
Well, now, what about the possibility of other parts of the country getting in the act?
Well, in the past 3 days, we have received 100 out-of-state letters. They've come from Florida, South Dakota, Texas, California, Washington, Ohio, St. Louis, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey, West Virginia.
Well, we're probably, after this, you'll probably get another batch, too. There'll be more coming in, because, of course, we're right across the country with this. What are you really doing now? You're not buying bread, is that it?
We are not buying bread, is right. And so the women are making their own, or using rolls or something as substitute.
Mm-hmm. Is there any truth to the rumor I heard that the price of flour went up in your community after this started?
In some areas, it seems to have. We have created quite a market for yeast.
Uh-huh.
That I know.
Well, now, have you talked with the grocers? How do they feel about this?
Yes, we have talked with independent grocers, and they want to cooperate with us, but at the same time, they still just turn around and blame someone else.
Well, yeah, everybody blames somebody else in this particular chain. I understand that there was a reference in the Wall Street Journal on this, and as I understand it, they said that there was going to be some representative from government come out and try to explain the farm subsidy system to you.
Well, we have received a letter from Mr. Nathan M. Kofsky,
yes.
Director of Bureau of Agriculture Economics in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
And according to his letter, there is a 2.5 cents per loaf of bread that cannot be accounted for by anyone. So we sent telegrams on September 12th to Mr. Kofsky and to Senator Paul Fannin requesting a federal investigation into the high food prices in our area.
Somewhere in that part of the country, there's a man collecting 2.5 cents from everybody. Hmm?
That's right.
See, well, how do your family feel about going on this home-baked bread thing? Are they happy?
Oh, yes, they like the homemade bread.
I see. You may have trouble getting off it, you know.
Well, we know that. That's not our worst problem.
Thank you very much, Sharon, and good luck.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Sharon Donaldson, well, where there's a will, there's a way, or maybe I should say where there's a won't, there's a woman determined to reduce her food cost. Sharon Donaldson of Phoenix, Arizona.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your head. And walk with me. All summer long, we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath the blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. You to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who saw summer wind, the summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.
Let me give you a big surprise and tell you that was Frank Sinatra, huh? Ted Webb's report on the world of speed comes along in exactly 4 minutes on the Monitor Beacon.
Hiya, folks. This is Henry Youngman. I always knew women spent most of their time on the telephone. Now I know who they're talking to. Lee Leonard. I tell you, I feel great. I just came back from the Internal Revenue Office. I'm all paid up through 1935. I wish I had more time to talk to you about that great radio personality. Your friend and his, Lee Leonard.
This is Dr. Joyce Brothers, and I've come across almost as many different kinds of problems as there are people. What's your problem? Do you hate your job? Is your marriage boring you? Do you have trouble meeting people? Or do you simply feel you're in a rut? Whatever your particular problem, if it has an emotional basis, I may be able to offer you some good advice. Call me at Plaza 7-8866 and listen to Call Dr. Brothers on WNBC Radio, the conversation station, weekdays after the 9 o'clock news.
The conversation station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
It's a weekend, time for time out. So, naturally, time for more Monitor. That's what it's all about, Alfie.
What it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What it all about when you thought it out, Alfie? meant to take more than we give? Or are we meant to be kind and dear? Only fools are kind. I'll be, then I guess it is wise to be cruel.
And this at the Monitor Sports Desk, this is Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend Checkpoint Pennsylvania with Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association and the many excellent service stations from coast to coast that carry and depend on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted Webb will be along in a moment. You know, friends, it's a fact that nature has blessed certain regions of the world with products of a natural quality that man-made products just can't match. The Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil region is one of these. A unique molecular structure makes Pennsylvania motor oils distinctly different from those produced anywhere else in the world. This difference provides superior lubricating qualities that last longer and protect better. No wonder we say, for the good of your engine, use a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Yes, friends, there is a difference, and I mean a really big difference in motor oils. The superior lubricity, or oiliness, of Pennsylvania oil gives you extra driving stamina and helps resist the effect of heat and extended high-speed driving. So next time your car is ready for an oil change, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil and put more lasting pleasure in your motoring. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. Sport of Speed originates at the Bridgehampton, New York road racing circuit, the scene today of the second stop in the series of sports car races in the Canadian-American Challenge Cup schedule. If the remaining four meets are as successful as was this New York State contest, the Can-Am will be the best thing that has ever happened to sports car competition in this hemisphere. Today's race left nothing to be desired. Perfect weather attracted the biggest turnout of enthusiasts to ever attend an event at the Bridge, some 27,000. A field which included two former world driving champions, Phil Hill and John Surtees, was on hand, and an accident-free 200-mile race sent the viewers away talking to themselves. Dan Gurney started on the pole in his Lola Westlake Ford. He led for the entire distance, fighting off every attempt to pass, made first by Phil Hill in Chaparral, which is Chevy-powered, and later by Bruce McLaren and teammate Chris Amon in McLaren Elvers. These four cars set a blistering pace for more than 50 of the 70 laps when Phil Hill started to slow and lost places to Amon and McLaren, who finished second and third. The two New Zealanders are now tied for the lead in the series with 10 points each as a result of their finishes today and last week at Mont-Tremblant. Gurney got 9 points for winning today and is tied with John Surtees, who won last week. 23 cars finished of 32 starters. Gurney averaged 105.58 miles an hour, a record for Bridgehampton. A 100-mile race for the sprint cars of USAC at Winchester, Indiana today was won by Al Smith of Dayton at a record speed of 96 miles an hour. Second was Bobby Unser. Third went to Mario Andretti. Fourth was Roger McCluskey, and fifth, Arnie Canepa. At Milwaukee this afternoon, a 250-miler for USAC late models went to Don White in 66 Charger, with Billy Foster in 65 Dodge, 22 seconds behind. Third was Jack Boucher in Ford. Norm Nelson in Plymouth was fourth, and A.J. Foyt in a 66 Ford took fifth. The lead changed 8 times between 6 drivers. Jim Herdebees went out on the 148th lap while running second. Canada has received the approval for a Formula One Grand Prix world title race in 1967. The course has not yet been named. This is Ted Webb at Bridgehampton, New York, for Monitor Sports.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. Insist on them for the lasting good of your engine. This is Mel Allen reporting for Monitor Sports.
And here's Buddy Greco tracking mud all over the Monitor Music Department.
I'm like a cloud drifting from town to town. Each new love just helps me on my way. No one woman's ever gonna tie me down. Gets too close, I just back up and say, I gotta be walking on new grass, singing a new song. Tomorrow there's no telling where I'll be, but I'll be walking on new grass, singing a new song. The next town up the road keeps calling me. I'm warning you, don't fall in love with me. I don't plan on being here too long. You're just a leaf caught in a play breeze. I'll carry you a while, then I'll be moving on. And I gotta be walking on new grass, singing a new song. Tomorrow there's no telling where I'll be, but I'll be walking on new grass, new song. The next town up the road keeps calling me. I won't take fruits, I never stay that long. And a bad seed just won't grow anyway. This rolling stone don't want to gather no moss. So when the grass starts to grow, then I'll be on my way. Yes, and I'll be walking on new grass, singing a new song. Tomorrow there's no telling where I'll be, but I'll be walking on new grass, singing a new song. The next town up the road keeps calling me.
Here's important news about United States savings bonds. All Series E and H bonds purchased since December 1, 1965 pay 4.15% compounded semi-annually when held to maturity. Your old bonds are improved, too. So hold on to your old savings bonds and keep buying them wherever you work or where you bank. United States savings bonds are better than ever before. Thank you. At the end of the summer, Walter Wanderley gave us Summer Samba. I'm Brad Crandall on Monitor, which stretches from here clean to other end of the country. In Washington, D.C., we're heard on station WRC, NBC Radio, in our nation's capital.
Monitor, going places and meeting people on the NBC Radio Network.
Late Summertime Monitor. My name is Brad Crandall. Much as I may sometimes hate to admit it, I am old enough to remember a radio program in the 1930s on which a man named Mr. Anthony would say something like, "All right, madam, tell us your problem and no names, please." And invariably, she'd begin by saying, "My problem, Mr. Anthony, is..." It became a household phrase. Well, Mr. Anthony is still giving advice, and he started a new career. He'll tell us all about it in about 10 minutes from now. Monitor Comedy Time with Mike Nichols and Elaine May. When a man wakes up in the morning, nothing cheers him up like a good breakfast prepared by a loving wife.
Do you have your tie, Pooh, on?
Shut up, will you? I'm thinking for a second.
All righty, Pooh. Oh, it's a pretty shirt for a handsome man.
Honey, will you hold it, please? I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do today.
Oh, somebody is mad.
Oh, just shut up and go down and make breakfast, will you?
Okay, on tippy-toe.
For crying out loud. I'm coming right down.
Would you like anything real special?
What?
Would you like anything real special?
No, just make some eggs and bacon, will you? And don't burn them.
Eggs scrambled-y?
Yes, scrambled, for crying out loud. It's been the same for 2 years.
Why can't make them some different, will you?
I want them scrambled. Now, will you get off my back?
Okay, Zee-poo. Honey?
What?
A little orangey juicy?
Honey, I just don't care. Will you please just shut up?
Oh, I have a wonderful surprise for you.
What?
You'll see.
I can't.
tell you. I can't wait to tell you. You want to know what I have for you?
What?
Honeydew melon.
Oh, terrific.
Oh, Katie. Honeydew melon. Honeydew melon for you.
Honey, will you shut up or I'm going to crack you right across the room, and that's a promise.
All righty, boy.
I don't want to hear you singing at breakfast.
Okay. Ready to eat?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
These eggs stink.
Oh, I'm sorry, Boo.
And that coffee stinks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made it stink.
Stop talking in that stupid baby voice, will you?
Okay.
For crying out loud, I can't eat this slop. I'm leaving.
You better not go out today yet.
Why?
Because I put poison in your coffee, Boo.
Well, I had a curious grouch. Mike Nichols and Elaine May, regulars on Monitor for many years. Mike, of course, has gone on to become an outstanding Broadway and Hollywood director. In fact, he has a new musical opening on Broadway soon, The Apple Tree.
When the hurt in his heart reaches the corner of his eye, where does a man go to cry? Where does a man toss his pride? When he knows he would run right on back to the one who pushed him aside. Tell me, where does a man toss his pride?
And that, friends, is Brooke Benton's very latest on the Monitor Beacon. At 16 minutes before the hour, the Ray Charles singers tell us it's time to sing.
It's time to sing. It's time to have a fling. With every song, let's sing along and make the rafters ring. It's time to dance. It's time to take a chance. We'll swing and sway till break of day and maybe find romance. We're on a spree with great hilarity.
Everybody, start to sing. Everybody, start to sing. Everybody, raise
you're part of my generation, words like these are very familiar.
All right, madam. Your problem, please. And no names, please.
The man who spoke those words is John J. Anthony, who presided over an absolutely fascinating radio program in the 1930s called The Goodwill Hour. Now, during the course of the program, selected persons would describe personal problems to him, and he would offer advice. Today, he's living and working in Hollywood, where Monitor reporter John Cannon talked with him.
Mr. Anthony, I think everybody in America listened to you.
Well, that's kind of you. We do know that we had an audience of at least 30 million every week. We maintain that it was possible to hear our show on a Sunday evening without owning a radio. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say, how could that be done? Well, you could walk into a restaurant. You could walk into a bar. You could walk into an ice cream parlor. You could take a ride in a taxi cab. You could walk along a street in Manhattan or Brooklyn. If it were warm enough and all the windows were open, you would hear the show in its entirety. You never had to own a radio.
John, this show actually was in the throes of depression, wasn't it? It started right in the very worst days of American economic life.
Yes, and that's true. We went network in 35, and times were pretty rough those days, and I imagine we probably did, for a greater number of people, more good than any other institution in the country.
Well, didn't this fall in with those times?
Sure.
Because people didn't have money to get professional advice.
Well, there are two problems there. Number one, they neither had money to get professional advice, and even if they did, there were no places for them to go to get it. Counseling, personal counseling, was almost unknown in those days.
John, you might recreate, for those of our listeners who were not part of the era, just what kind of show The Court of Human Relations was. How did one get on it, for instance?
Actually, the title of the show was The Goodwill Hour.
The Goodwill Hour.
Well, we would receive approximately 4,000 letters a week. Now, not all of them were problems, of course, but most of them were. And we would select from this enormous amount of mail those letters that we felt contained problems that would interest a large cross-section of our population. And we would invite some 30 or 40 people in for every Sunday evening. Only about 10 of them reached the air. The others remained in the studio, and I would talk to them at the conclusion of the program, which meant that I stayed in the studio for some 3 or 4 hours every Sunday night. The problems ran the gamut of all human experience. You couldn't possibly think of any story plot that we didn't find in a problem that was given to us.
Did you have one constant theme of advice then, and do you today?
Yes, I think it's pretty much the same today as it was then and will be tomorrow. And that is to permit your fellow man to live as a decent human being. You know, if we follow the verities in the Bible, we would never have any problems.
Rather quickly, Mr. Anthony, what are you doing this very day?
Doing a great many things. Number one, I started a new career, as you know. I'm now a motion picture actor. And I do a great deal of lecturing. I do a lot of writing. And I do a good deal of teaching. I teach current events in current history at several of our local high schools. Well, I'm pretty busy.
Well, it's been a most pleasant visit, and much success in all your future efforts, Mr. Anthony.
Thank you so much.
We've been visiting with John J. Anthony, a man who had a popularity and a renown almost unknown in this country in the era of radio at its very peak. This is John Cannon for Monitor from Hollywood.
On Monitor, Dean Martin.
These shades can't hide the tears I've cried, but not the way I feel inside. These shades can only do their part, oh yeah. But these shades can't hide a broken heart. Can only do their part.
is Monitor, your best weekend source of information and entertainment. Your best weekday source is also NBC. Take Emphasis, for instance. 7 times daily, you're kept up with what's really going on. Chet Huntley, Barbara Walters, Bill Cullen, Merrill Muller, Ed Newman, Tom Pettit, and Sander Van Oker report on different aspects of life in this world. For example, tomorrow, Van Oker, a Washington-based NBC News correspondent, brings to light Congressman Adam Clayton Powell's special role in the Congress. And joining NBC's Emphasis a week from tomorrow, Dr. Joyce Brothers. Join her and other Emphasis performers every day for a new look at the world. Tijuana Brass, the song Flamingo. And I'm the real Brad Crandall with real weekend entertainment. Monitor.
This is NBC.